Whoever permits his legitimate needs to go unsatisfied will never be sympathetic to the crying needs of others. A human morality based on love and friendship, on sharing and the travail of others, cannot be practiced if the person's own need awareness is dull and he does not know what suffering is. Welcome to A Journey Through the Siddur, Episode 18. Paul Johnson, Rabbi Soloveitchik, and the Meaning of Jewish Prayer. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's Journey Through the Siddur series is sponsored by Sherry and Neil Cohen in memory of their parents, Beatrice and Paul Milberg, and Harriet and Norman H. Cohen.
Today, we speak of Paul Johnson and Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik. It was Rabbi Sacks who famously described his conversation with Paul Johnson, the great Catholic historian, by saying, quote, "I once had the opportunity to ask the Catholic writer Paul Johnson what had struck him most about Judaism during the long period he spent researching it for his masterly A History of the Jews." So Rabbi Sacks reports, Rabbi Sacks went on to describe how Johnson essentially responded that cultures around the world tended to focus either on the individual or on the collective. But for Johnson, Judaism was different. Rabbi Sacks described Johnson's response as follows, quote, "Judaism," he continued, "was the most successful example he knew of that managed the delicate balance between both, giving equal weight to individual and collective responsibility. Judaism was a religion of strong individuals and strong communities. This," he said, "was very rare and difficult and constituted one of our greatest achievements." And Rabbi Sacks continued, "It was a wise and subtle observation. Without knowing it, he had in effect paraphrased Hillel's aphorism, 'If I am not for myself, who will be? Individual responsibility. But if I am only for myself, what am I? Collective responsibility.'" End quote. To ponder this point of Johnson is to remember a haunting interpretation by Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik about prayer. "Va'etchanan el Hashem," Moses says at the end of his life, "I pleaded to God, asking that I be allowed to cross over the Jordan and enter the Promised Land. God refused, and the way Moses describes the refusal is seemingly strange. Va'itaber bi Hashem l'manchem. God refused me, said Moses, because of you," meaning because of the people of Israel. This is initially difficult to understand. We know that the ban on Moses entering the land of Israel was a punishment by God for his hitting the rock in the story of the granting of water to the people of Israel. Why then did Moses say that my prayer to enter the land was rejected because of you, because of the people? It is Rabbi Soloveitchik who offered a heartbreaking explanation. The critical word here, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, in Moses' words, is "I pleaded." We know that throughout the Torah, the people of Israel were saved by Moses' prayerful intervention. Yet, here, at the moment of his pleading with God, no one stood with him, no one prayed, no one pleaded for him. Rabbi Soloveitchik put it this way, quote, "When he was told that he would not enter the Holy Land, Moses pleaded for forgiveness. Had the people joined him in prayer, the Holy One would have been forced to respond, but they did not join." Thus, Rabbi Soloveitchik continues, we read that with tears in his eyes, Moses tells them, "Va'eschanan, I prayed alone. It was not Vanischanan, we prayed." End quote. It is a powerful point. Throughout his leadership, Moses had been willing to offer himself for his people, to beseech God on their behalf. He was only one man and he saved an entire nation. What might have happened had an entire nation beseeched God for one man? "Va'eschanan el Hashem," Moses says in Deuteronomy, "I pleaded with God, but God refused because of you," meaning for Rabbi Soloveitchik, "because of your refusal to pray for me. That is why, for all of my achievements, what I truly hope to achieve, entering the land of Israel, is barred to me, because I needed your help, and it was not there. I needed your prayers, and they were not to be found." The extraordinary interpretation reminds us that even Moses was profoundly bound in his life to others, and that is true about the very making of Moses into the man whom he became. Because for all that Moses, is the ultimate example of individual greatness, in the end, even he who so lived for others ultimately became Moses because of others. A mother who hid him, a sister who watched over him, an older brother who, after so many examples of sibling rivalry in Genesis, selflessly stood by his side and spoke for him. And then, of course, there is also the daughter of Pharaoh who saved him. What this means is that, both in responsibility and in identity, we are linked to others. And Judaism, in prayer as elsewhere, asks us therefore to think about the individual, but also about the collective. and we ponder the point of Paul Johnson about the uniqueness of Judaism as we utilize Rabbi Soloveitchik's approach to prayer to turn to a part of the Amidah that is so painfully relevant to our own moment. The next blessing is about Geulah, redemption, and it captures the beseeching of generations of Jews to God to deliver his people from the constant crises his people have faced. It reads, Re'eno v'anyeno v'riva rivenu, ki go'el chazak ata. See our pain and fight our battles, for you are a mighty Redeemer. Blessed are you, O God, Goel Yisrael, the Redeemer of Israel. Let us understand what is unfolding in this seemingly simple blessing by quoting from several of Rabbi Soloveitchik's reflections about prayer. The first point is the petitionary nature of the prayer and the way it highlights the pain experienced and expressed by the one who prays. Re'eh, see, we ask God, look upon, ve'onyenu, our pain. This highlights how for Jews, prayer proceeds from need and from pain. Rabbi Soloveitchik, in one of his discussions of prayer, put it this way, quote, Judaism, in contradistinction to mystical quietism, which recommended toleration of pain, wants man to cry out aloud against any kind of pain, to react indignantly to all kinds of injustice or unfairness. For Judaism held that the individual who displays indifference to pain and suffering, who meekly reconciles himself to the ugly, disproportionate, and unjust in life, is not capable of appreciating beauty and goodness. Whoever permits his legitimate needs to go unsatisfied will never be sympathetic to the crying needs of others. A human morality based on love and friendship, on sharing in the travail of others, cannot be practiced if the person's own need awareness is dull and he does not know what suffering is. End quote. Thus, for Rabbi Soloveitchik, prayer proceeds out of a person's own pain, and true prayer is petitionary. Yet, as Rabbi Soloveitchik also makes clear, in several different reflections, one's prayer from pain must always be joined by a collective awareness of the pain and needs of others. As we will discuss tomorrow, Jewish tradition asserts that one can insert personal prayers in these petitionary blessings of the Amidah, but these pleas are always placed within the larger liturgical context of the collective. Thus, Rabbi Soloveitchik reflected elsewhere, quote, When the I becomes aware of his being responsible for the well-being of the thou, whom he has helped bring into existence, a new community emerges, the community of prayer. What does this mean? It means a community of common pain, of common suffering. The halacha has taught the individual to include his fellow man in prayer. The individual must not limit himself to his own needs, no matter how pressing those needs are and how distinguished he is. Halacha has formulated prayer in the plural. There is hardly a prayer which avails itself of the grammatical singular. Even private prayers, such as those offered on the occasion of sickness, death, or other crises, are recited in the plural. End quote. And then Rabbi Soloveitchik gives us an example. The plural form that is said to the mourner, even if the mourner is alone, what is said is, May the Almighty comfort thee among all mourners of Zion and Jerusalem. The point for Rabbi Soloveitchik is that one joins oneself to others in prayer. As he further states, quote, Why do I use the plural form when I pray? Because I am aware not only of my pain, but of the pain of the many, because I share in the suffering of the many. Again, it is not psychological, it is rather existential awareness of pain. And then a bit later, Rabbi Soloveitchik adds something written by him, which, though it was written many decades ago, is deeply relevant today. He writes, quote, I still remember the distress we young boys experienced when we heard of a pogrom in some Jewish town thousands of miles away. Our anguish was not due to fear, but to sympathy and compassion. We felt the pain of the nation as a whole. End quote. So Rabbi Soloveitchik wrote, The Jewish connection to fellow Jews is of course a source of empathy and therefore of pain, but it is also a source of great strength, and it is linked to the miraculous endurance of the Jewish people. Paul Johnson is clearly filled with wonder at the Jewish story. He obviously sees in the Jewish story providential purpose. Thus Johnson wrote about the Jews, quote, Certainly the world without the Jews would have been a radically different place. Humanity might have eventually stumbled upon all the Jewish insights, but we cannot be sure. All the great conceptual discoveries of the human intellect seem obvious and inescapable once they had been revealed, but it requires a special genius to formulate them for the first time. The Jews had this gift. To them we owe the idea of equality before the law, both divine and human, of the sanctity of life and the dignity of human person, of the individual conscience and so a personal redemption, of collective conscience and so of social responsibility. of peace as an abstract ideal and love as the foundation of justice, and many other items which constitute the basic moral furniture of the human mind. Without Jews, it might have been a much emptier place." End quote. Today, the blessing we are describing takes on a deep relevance. As we ponder the miracles of Jewish history, we ask God to see the pain of his people, to redeem those suffering in captivity, to grant victory to the soldiers of the IDF that battle against evil, and to show us many more miracles yet to come. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.